Chapter 33, Antonio. Antonio grew up in Cajamarca in northern Peru in the Andes Mountains. This area is part of the Ring of Fire because of the tectonic plates which caused increased earthquake and volcanic activity. It is the 13th largest city in Peru. Peru is deeply stratified by income and class. All of the Uribe siblings were educated and did well for themselves, but the generation before my father's siblings were farmers. Antonio was one of 13 children, with only two of them his full siblings. He was the youngest child born to a considerably older father. One of the Uribes became a local celebrity, also named Antonio. He was a prominent politician, an educator, and eventually had a school named after him. He died relatively young. A book was written about him, which Serena was kind enough to send me. Within the book is a group photo of the Uribes that does not include my father, his mother, or his two full sisters. Antonio's father, my grandfather, is at the center. Sometime after his father's death, when Antonio was a teenager, he went to Lima to stay with his aunt and uncle, Serena's parents. Serena did not recall meeting Antonio until after he was an adult, but she did say he was known by the family as someone who they could turn to for help. She said her mother especially loved Antonio. Around 1958, Antonio hopped on an American friend's private plane and arrived in Joliet, Illinois, home of the first community college in the U.S. For Latin Americans who put so much emphasis on their families, this was a big deal, to leave the nest and never return. One day I was reading through my local county genealogical newsletter about people who immigrate to the U.S. It read, "An examination of thousands of immigration and naturalization records show that brothers usually remained close-knit and usually resided near each other after immigration." I thought about how this related to Antonio. Antonio's half-brothers were not close in age, with families of their own living in Peru. The only brother that I knew of that came to the U.S. was Louis, Serena's father, who received his military training here in the 1950s, returning to Peru and becoming instrumental in rebuilding the areas that were destroyed by the 1960s earthquake. Antonio was the only child of 13 who left Peru permanently. He had perfect timing and help from the U.S. government when President Eisenhower implemented a program to fund college education in the United States. Called the National Defense Education Act, Antonio received a fellowship for advanced study to earn his Ph.D. The friend he joined in the U.S. was a local politician named Jim who attended high school in Joliet. Learning this, I immediately thought about Bonnie's comment to Greg that his father worked in government. Serena had attended college with Jim, who developed a friendship with her father, General Louis Uribe. Antonio earned his associate's degree in 1961 and then began attending Northwestern University, where he completed his bachelor's degree in 1963 and his master's degree in 1965. It was in DeKalb, the home of Northern Illinois University, where he met my birth mom. In 1966, he married a local Illinois gal who was a young widow with two sons. They had one son that same year, very close in age to me, named Tony. Antonio later completed a second master's degree in 1966 at a different college in Illinois and then moved to Iowa to study for his PhD, which he completed in 1968. Sometime in the 1970s, Antonio and his wife divorced and my brother and his mom moved to Ohio, where Tony graduated north of me in the 1980s. During the 1980s, Antonio was employed as an associate professor at a college in Canada teaching in the Department of French, Spanish, and Italian Studies. I pause on that last sentence. For most of my life, I believed I was Italian. Is it a coincidence that thought to be Italian-born made it to the adoption non-identifying information I received and that my father taught Italian studies? This leads to new thoughts about why the cradle placed me with my particular set of parents. My mom, Rachel, was an educator who headed up a Spanish department in upstate New York. She also did postgraduate work in Puerto Rico, where she seriously dated a Latin guy she met there before she knew my dad. During my mother's many travels around the world, one that really popped now was her extended visit to Colombia. All of these details would have been in the background information about my mom as she was vetted to become an adoptive parent. Of Peruvian descent was also included in my non-ID, although I never saw that in file until I was 25 years old. At the time I received the paperwork, I latched onto, thought to be Italian-born. If it were true that Leela did not know the identity of my father, how in the world would the adoption agency know to list me as being of Peruvian descent? Also, I learned that the age of my father and the adoption agency record was not accurate. He turned out to be older than any of us originally thought. Turns out Peruvians shave years off their age when they immigrate. Adoption agencies were notorious during the baby scoop era for matching kids to parents. When possible, this matching included nationality, appearance, religion, and social status. In my adoptive family, I was the only one who looked generic ethnic with black hair and brown eyes. However, we must have looked enough alike to pass for biological because I did not have to deal with a lot of questions about my background as a child unless I told someone I was adopted. My mom recently told me a story that really stuck in her craw. A neighbor asked her one day, "Why would they give you a brown-eyed baby when neither you or Max had brown eyes?" My mom says she was not at all interested in the color of my eyes, but it demonstrates how people react to learning that a child does not come into the family the old-fashioned way. My mom stated that she had not even entertained thoughts of me looking like her. In fact, the agency had advised prospective adoptive parents to not get any preconceived notions about what their baby may look like. I can't help but wonder if Mrs. McGee knew more about my father's background than ever made it to the file. Is it possible that the reason that Rachel and Max were chosen as my parents was because of my Latin American father? The possibility occurred to me when my mom and I were out taking a walk and I was catching her up on the latest discoveries. The thought hit me like a ton of bricks. Antonio and my mom were both Spanish educators. Could this be a coincidence? As I was researching in newspapers.com one evening, I came across a talk that Antonia was giving that stopped me dead in my tracks. Dr. Uribe will give a talk this evening titled, In Search of Identity, The Writers of Latin America. Not too long after discovering that newspaper posting, my friend Regina sent me a YouTube video of Antonia reciting Mexican poetry in Spanish. I was pleased to hear his voice. Besides being a published author, Antonio appeared to be an expert on Latin American poets and writers. I found this quite funny and unexpected, considering I could not read anything he wrote without help. By the time I found him, he was 83 years old, a retired professor emeritus, and had a second career supervising various land development and building construction projects. It was exciting and validating to learn my father was an adventurer, and it appeared that in so many ways I had followed in his footsteps without ever knowing him. Knowing about Antonio and the Uribe clan has given me a sense of wholeness that I had been searching for my whole life. Until you get to the other side of a search, it can be hard to pinpoint what exactly it is that one needs. Is it genetic mirroring, more relationships, knowledge of ancestors, medical history? I believe that all people with unknown parents have different motivations for searching or not. For me, it was always about understanding, knowing, and loving myself in a way I was not able to prior to gaining that knowledge. Author Claire McAlpine summarizes her take on what Betty Jean Lifton discusses in her book, Journey of the Adopted Self, A Quest for Wholeness. It is not the literal search in the material world where one sifts through records and archives for real people with real names and addresses, but rather about the internal search in which one sifts through the pieces of the psyche in an attempt to understand who one was so that one can have a sense of who one is and who one can become. It is the quest for all of the missing pieces of the self so that one can become whole. Maybe we are all in search of identity, adopted or not, and maybe my impetus to write about my adoption journey really started with Antonio's DNA and the unknown Uribe clan.